DW.
Usually when I start to tell to people I'm working on soil, people are saying it's dirty and it's dead. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's nothing to do with
what. And the eyes glaze over and they walk away.
Artist Karine Bonval and plant ecologist Matthias Rillig bonded over a common, albeit niche, interest, soil. 4 years later, and they've inspired each other's work, conducting experiments, creating exhibitions, and even publishing a research paper together. Now, in the grand glass domes of the huge greenhouse at Berlin's Botanical Gardens, they're telling a small but fascinated audience how it all began.
And actually, the interesting bit is when you asked me a question. Remember what the question was?
So, does the root of fungi make sounds into soil when they are growing?
That is a question that I never asked myself, and I thought it was actually a silly question. My answer was like, no, I don't know. And then I went home, and I stayed up almost all night because for some reason, that started something, and I'd never thought about sound before in soil. Because, you know, you need to understand soil, our concept of soil is that it's dark, so vision plays no role for the organisms in there, and it's quiet, it's moist, and communication goes on via chemical means. So that sound or vibrations, actually, one should be more honest and call it vibrations, because it's not always in the audible range for us humans, maybe, that's important. That never occurred to me.
And there's the rub. Even if fungi roots are making noises, they're not noises we're able to hear. That's what Bonval discovered when she experimented with super-sensitive sensors acting like microphones and an anechoic chamber, a kind of box that can isolate sound.
So basically, I took samples of soils, different places, and put them into the box to try to record, but it appears that for like mycorrhizae or things like that, it's too tiny to be recorded. They might make some sounds when they are growing, but it's too slow and it's like very disappointing for an audience to hear like a little click every 2 days, I guess. So the bioacoustician says maybe we could more record the sounds of the invertebrates' activity, and we did.
And this is what happened, the sound of Bonval's compost, or rather, the sound of the organisms moving around inside it, invertebrates like worms and insects. These sounds, or vibrations, could be considered as disturbances to the soil.
Basically, the idea is that anything that's a vibration, anything that's moving, anything that's sound, would be bad news.
That's because it could signal danger, warning of a predator, for example. Or if a fungus detected intense activity in a certain area, it might send its roots elsewhere instead. Soil bacteria might be able to sense threats from other microorganisms and react to them. Bonval and Rillig realised that if that's the case, sounds from above ground could be affecting soil too.
If, for instance, here you have planes, you have vibrations coming from gardening trucks or whatever, and it's making extra sounds.
Nobody thinks about that the noises, I mean, that we produce as humans, as people, that they might constitute a disturbance to the soil organisms. Why not? I mean, nobody knows this, but it is another aspect that it could be a noise pollution.
That's something Bonval couldn't help but hear when she tried to record the sound of soil on a trip to Sri Lanka, and discovered it sounded completely different to the compost in the anechoic box.
I just put my tool into the soil, and it was a very quiet night in the countryside on a hill. It was perfectly silent. I mean, only small animals singing outdoors, and listen to what I hear.
Beneath Bonval's feet, a chaotic buzz she had no idea about on the quiet hillside. The sensors in the soil picked up sounds not just of the creatures living in it, but other noises from further away, even from the radios playing inside nearby homes.
But I guess the invertebrates and organisms, if they are perceiving it, they are just adapting themselves as they do always. I don't know.
They will have maybe evolutionarily been selected to detect certain vibrations because they might signal danger.
Yeah.
Just an idea we don't really notice yet.
But there's another idea too, and it's that while a lot of sounds could mean a lot of disturbances for soil organisms, it also shows there's a lot going on. And that's a good sign, because it means diversity.
I did some, many tries in some field that are really treated with regular chemistry, and it's completely silent.
And it's basically just an extension from what has been done above ground, where, you know, the diversity of sounds is related to the diversity of organisms. And there's no reason to think it might be different in the soil. I mean, if there's a bunch of critters that walk around in different ways, then they would also make different sounds. You know, if they crawl or how they scrape across the soil surfaces, that would all be causing vibrations, and it would be causing vibrations in a species or in a group-specific fashion. So that I think it would scale with biodiversity in a pretty straightforward way.
Scientists are already researching communication between plants, but using sound to find out more about communication in the soil is something new. And it was the creative collaboration between art and science that made it possible.
If there really is also sound available as a tool for communication, that means that we could be discovering a whole new world of interactions in the soil that so far were hidden because we simply didn't listen at all to what goes on in terms of vibrations and sounds in soil.
Loveday Wright for DW in Berlin.
DW.